Well, good evening, everyone. If you have access to a Bible, perhaps you could turn to five words that we find in Hebrews 12 and at the end of verse 27. And those five words are these: things which cannot be shaken. Things which cannot be shaken. In the previous verse, verse 26, the writer to the Hebrews takes us back to Sinai, and he also takes us forward to the second coming of Christ. He says yet once more, verse 26, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. At Sinai, before God gave the Ten Commandments, the mountain trembled. The voice of God reverberated. The earth was shaken. That was Sinai. But at the return of Christ, not only will the earth be shaken, but the heavens as well. This old world as we know it will be burnt up, it will be dissolved, and there will be ushered in a new heaven and a new earth. The earth shaken at Sinai, the heavens and the earth to be shaken at the coming of Christ. But what about now? What about the time in between Sinai and the second coming? Well, you'll remember those words of Jesus. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. In other words, Jesus promised a world that would always be volatile, uncertain, unstable. A world that would often be shaken. Well, what is it today that is shaking our world? Well, it is, of course, pestilence. What does the word mean? Well, in the Greek, it means a disease, an epidemic, a pandemic that affects an entire community. Pestilence is a pest. And when we see what coronavirus has done and is doing to our physical health, to our mental health, to our economy, then there can be no doubt at all that coronavirus is a pest. It is a pestilence. Well, to some extent or another, we've all been shaken by this pandemic. 18 months ago, we could not have envisaged the misery, the grief, the vast changes that countries throughout the world would have to face. Humanity has been shaken. We've been brought to see again just how frail, how uncertain human existence can be. But as the people of God, it's not just the coronavirus. The Apostle Paul said, evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And if ever there was a generation in which those words of the Apostle Paul were being fulfilled, then I would suggest it is in our generation today. Homosexuality and abortion promoted. Same-sex marriage celebrated. Euthanasia encouraged. Transgender issues top of the agenda. Christians targeted and arrested. Political correctness, British values taking precedence over the Bible and the Ten Commandments. Evil men are growing worse and worse. I was just thinking the other day, it's 50 years now since my grandparents died. But if they were to come back today, they would wonder what they'd come back to. They would probably think they'd not come back to Earth, but rather to the outskirts of hell. Such have been the changes in the past 40 or 50 years. We're in a volatile world. Everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes. And it's no wonder if at times men and women, even Christian men and women, no wonder if at times we feel anxious and fearful. The earth is shaking today. One day heaven and earth will be shaken. And it is for that reason we do well to consider these words in Hebrews 12 and 27. Things which cannot be shaken. Things which cannot be shaken. What are they? Well, I want to just name three. One, the throne of God. Two, the word of God. And three, the kingdom of God. Things that will remain, things that will endure, even when heaven and earth have passed away. Well, first of all, the throne of God. The throne of God. If you turn back to Hebrews 1 and verse 8. Hebrews 1, verse 8. Of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Here is the Father speaking of the Son. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now, there were many evil kings in the Old Testament. Kings such as Ahab or Manasseh. And what a mercy that they didn't reign forever. What a mercy that death brought their wickedness to an end. But there were also good kings. Kings such as Hezekiah and Josiah. And though it was inevitable they couldn't reign forever, nevertheless it was a wrench to the nation when they died. Now I suppose that is how we will feel with our present queen. She's now reigned for 69 years. Most of us cannot remember any other monarch. I remember the first program I ever saw on television was the coronation. We didn't have a television ourselves, but we were invited to the home of a great aunt. And all I can remember is having to sit on a chair, say nothing, and eat potted meat sandwiches. That's all I remember of Coronation Day. But I do know she's been an excellent queen. She's been an outstanding monarch. And it's sad to think that because of her age, we must now be in the closing years of her reign. The very best of Earth's monarchs, they cannot reign forever. But here in Hebrews 1, we're promised one whose reign will be forever. To the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. No coup, no death, no successors. His reign is an eternal reign. But I suppose someone might say, if Jesus is on the throne, if he reigns, why coronavirus? Why the persecution of Christians? Why militant atheism? Why abortion? Why same-sex marriage? Are we sure that our God reigns? Are we sure that this world is under his control? How do we answer that? Well, there are two passages we can turn to. One in the New Testament and one in the Old Testament. First of all, in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. In chapters 2 and 3, Christ speaks to the seven churches on earth. But when we move into chapter 4, the Apostle John, in his vision, is taken by the Spirit into heaven. And in heaven, verse 1, he sees an open door. And as he peeps through that door, what does he see? Verse 2, behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. In other words, John sees a higher throne than this world has ever known. And notice, it is a throne stood in heaven. That word stood means set in heaven. It's fixed, it's grounded, it's established, it's unmovable. A throne stood in heaven and one seated on the throne. Who is it seated on the throne? Well, we're told in verse 8, it is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. He sees the glorified Christ, one to whom all authority has been given in heaven and on earth. One to whom ultimately all the governments and authorities of earth will have to submit. What does that mean? Well, it means that coronavirus cannot topple him. Islam can't depose him. Atheism cannot defeat him. Humanism, communism, materialism, any ism you care to name, they cannot overthrow him. Jesus Christ is on the throne of the universe. He's on the throne of the universe tonight. He rules, he reigns, he's in full control. With the Apostle John, peep through the door of heaven. And with the eye of faith, see Jesus seated on a throne, which is forever and forever. And then in the Old Testament, to the psalm we've already been thinking about this evening, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we watch the news or we observe our own personal circumstances, sometimes all we see is the earth moving, the mountains shaking, the waters roaring. That's all we see. But here in Psalm 46, we're told to stop, to pause, to be still, and with the eye of faith to see beyond these things. Be still and know that I am God. And that phrase, be still, they're the words that Jesus used when he calmed the storm. And here, as the writer speaks of the earth giving way, of the waters roaring and foaming, he says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Not I was God. I am God. I am God now, and in the future, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He is the unchangeable one. He is the all-sufficient one. A God before whom all the nations of this world are as a drop in a bucket, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. And with the eye of faith, that is what we need to see. Otherwise, we will be alarmed by coronavirus. We will be disturbed when it sometimes seems that the very fabric of our society is beginning to shake and to crumble. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. But then the second thing that cannot be shaken, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God. We turn to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now this prophecy was given by Isaiah almost 3,000 years ago. But the wonderful thing is this, the prophecy is being fulfilled here and now in Horsforth tonight. Because we are reading the Bible. The Word of God is being preached. The prophecy is being fulfilled. And make no mistake about it, that of itself is a miracle. And it's a miracle because ever since the Bible was written, the attacks upon it have been venomous and continual. Atheists, philosophers, scientists, theologians, emperors, dictators, they've all assaulted the Bible. And yet despite that, the Bible is still the best-selling book of all time. Because the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let me give you two examples. One from the first century and one from the 21st century. In 303 AD, Diocletian, the Roman Emperor, he ordered every Bible to be burnt, and anyone possessing a Bible to be put to death. It was known as the Great Persecution, and it was aimed at the book and the bodies of Christians. Well, many were tortured. Many were martyred and died. But when Diocletian died in 313 AD, there were still copies of the Bible available. The Bible was still being read. And indeed, within a few short years under Constantine, Christians had the freedom both to worship and to read the Bible. Why? The grass withers. The flower fades. The word of our God stands forever. That was the first century. What about the 21st century? Well, the opposition still continues. There's a well-known actor. I won't name him. But every time he stays in an hotel, if there's a copy of the Gideon Bible, then he tears Leviticus 28 out of the Bible because it condemns homosexual practices. Now, he can remove the page. He can't remove the truth. He can do away with the chapter. He can't do away with the sin. And the Bible and the truth of the Bible will still be standing when that actor has gone to meet his maker. Because the grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Vicious, brutal attacks from outside the church. But also attacks just as vicious, just as brutal from inside the church. I remember when I was in the sixth form doing biblical studies, my New Testament tutor was a Quaker and my Old Testament tutor was a Congregational minister. Well, between them, they demolished, they destroyed the Bible. And they demolished, they destroyed any faith that I might have in the Bible. There was no creation, no fall of man, no miracles, no virgin birth, no physical resurrection, no second coming, no judgment, no hell. To them, the Bible was the work of men. It was not the word of God. And so they were happy to criticize and to destroy it. And they had a perverse influence upon me. But within 3 years of finishing school, I was converted. And I was converted through the preaching of the very gospel that those men had denied and derided. Because the grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Vicious attacks, both from without and within. Just turn to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. I'm sure you're very familiar with the story, how in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and they're singing hymns to God. In verse 26, there's a great earthquake. The foundations are shaken. The doors swing open. The prisoners' chains are broken. In verse 27, the keeper of the prison awakes. He sees what has happened. He just assumes that all the prisoners will have escaped. and he's just about to commit suicide when Paul cries out in verse 28, "Do not harm yourself, we are all here. Do not harm yourself, we are all here." Now, I want to do something that no preacher should ever do, and that is to take a verse right out of context. But at the end of the age, when Jesus Christ comes again, all 66 books of the Bible will be able to say, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here. We've been attacked, we've been assaulted, we've been doubted, we've been denied, but we're all here." 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament, we're all here. Because the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. How true that is, and how wonderful that is. That whilst the ideas and philosophies of men come and go, the word of God stands forever. The throne of God, the word of God, but just a third thing that can never be shaken, and that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, I want us to see the real wonder of this by turning back to Daniel and to chapter 2. Daniel and chapter 2. It's one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible, and I've only time to skim the surface. But in verses 31 to 33, there is described the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And in his dream, he sees this awesome statue, this awesome image. The head is made of gold, the arms and torso are made of silver, the belly and thighs are made of bronze, and the legs and feet are made of iron and clay. But what happens? Verse 34 of Daniel 2. A stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became as the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This awesome statue is destroyed by a stone cut out by no human hand. And then the stone becomes a mountain and fills the earth. Well, in verse 36, Daniel goes on to explain the significance. The gold represented the Babylonian Empire. The silver represented the Persian Empire. The bronze represented the Greek Empire. The iron and clay represented the Roman Empire. Powerful empires which for a time appeared invincible, indestructible. But then one by one, they were defeated and brought to nothing. The Babylonians superseded by the Persians. The Persians superseded by the Greeks. The Greeks superseded by the Romans. And ultimately, every kingdom superseded by a kingdom which appeared at the time of the Roman Empire. Which kingdom appeared at the time of the Roman Empire? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of Christ. Verse 44. In the days of those kings, Herod the Great, Herod Antipas, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Now I find that exciting. There have been, there still are, empires, kingdoms, governments, ideologies. They almost seem indestructible. And yet every one of them, every one of them, no matter how great, no matter how powerful they may seem to be, every one of them, their days are numbered. Some of you will remember, it used to be said that the sun will never set on the British Empire. Perhaps sometimes we forget just how big the British Empire was. In 1913, it comprised of 412 million people. It was a quarter of the world's population. Oh, the sun will never set on the British Empire. Friends, where is it now? Where is it now? There's only one kingdom which will endure. There's only one kingdom which cannot be shaken. And that is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so the vital question is this. Are you a member of that kingdom? Are you a member of the kingdom of God? And if not, how do you become a member? How do you become a member of the kingdom of God? Well, you remember that thief that died with Jesus on the cross. As he died, he said this, he said, "Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, today, you will be with me in paradise. A short while ago, I read these words of a Muslim extremist. "I want to die as a martyr and go to paradise. I want to die as a martyr and go to paradise." I thought his words were most significant. He recognized there's no paradise without a sacrificial death. He recognized that. The tragedy is, he thinks paradise can be obtained through his own death. But that's not possible. Paradise is not gained through our death. Paradise cannot be gained through the death of another sinner. Paradise can only be gained through the death, the atoning death of Jesus Christ. The just dying for the unjust to bring us to God. And that's what the dying thief recognized. Jesus was dying for sinners. He was a sinner. Therefore, Jesus was dying for him. And sorry, penitent for his sin, He cried out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Have you done that? Will you do that? Have you recognized that before God, you are a sinner? Have you thanked God for sending Jesus to die for sinners? Have you put your trust in the Son of God who came to save you from your sins? It is as you turn from sin and put your trust in him that you're forgiven, you're reconciled, you become a child of God, and you become a member of that kingdom which shall never be shaken, that kingdom which is forever and forever. And so the earth shook at the time when God gave commandment at Sinai. The heavens and the earth will both shake when Jesus Christ comes again and God pours out his wrath on this sin-sick world. But thank God tonight. Praise God tonight for things which can never, ever be shaken. The throne of God, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The word of God, the grass withers, the flower fades. The word of our God stands forever. And the kingdom of God, that kingdom which will forever remain when every other kingdom has been conquered and vanished away.